All right, so tonight we're excitingly going to be talking about some words that are actually in the Siddur, even though they're not words that we might think of as being Parashat Esrei. They are very much Parashat Esrei. We're going to talk about the line which we say before what we would call before we start Shemoneh Esrei, which is Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tehillasecha. So just the reason I keep saying that we call it not Shemoneh Esrei, the Gemara is clear that it is part of Tefillah. The Gemara says, as we discussed last week, that you have to be Somich Geula Tefillah. And the Gemara says, so how can we be mafsik? How can we interrupt with this pasuk of Hashem Sfasai Tiftach? And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan says that since the Chachamim were koveya it in Tefillah, it's Ketfila Arichta Damya, that it becomes an extended section of Tefillah. And just to make it clear that that's not just a nice way of saying that it's, close enough that it's not an interruption, l'halacha, I'm aware of at least five ramifications of the fact that it's part of tefillah. I won't burden you with all five of them, but for example, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that if you don't say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, you're not Yotzei Tefillah, you skipped a part of tefillah. The Chazar, the Shaliach Tzibor is supposed to, has to say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach because it's part of tefillah. At, if you take your, if you say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, you can't say anything, you can't interrupt at that point. You've started davening. So at Mincha, when we don't have the issue of Somech Gula Tefillah, we say Kishem Hashem Ekra, and then we say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. You can't switch the order, because when you say, once you said Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, that's the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. You can't interrupt after that. And lastly, I don't remember how many I said, but I said I wasn't going to say them all, and I think I've only said three, so I'm still good to say one more. If you, many people actually, I don't think, are aware of this. Some people, they take their three steps back and their three steps forward as they say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. It's brought down in Halacha of the Be'er. Moshe says that you should not be saying Hashem Sfasai Tiftach until after you have finished taking your three steps forward and you are standing in place, because it's part of Shemoneh Esrei. You're not supposed to be walking while you're saying Shemoneh Esrei. That's part of Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore you should take your three steps forward, and after you finish, you're standing with your legs together as you do for Shemoneh Esrei, so then you say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. So it's very much is a real, actual part of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not just relevant to Shemoneh Esrei, but it is intrinsically an attachment to Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore try and understand exactly what the significance of it is and why it is, why it is a central part of Shemoneh Esrei, that it's an attachment which is a necessary attachment to Shemoneh Esrei. So before I say anything else, I try not to discuss too much Kabbalah because I'm not necessarily qualified to do so, but when it has, some very simple level that we can understand, try to understand it. So the Mekubalim, the Sefer Akedas Yitzchak, brings this down, that the Mekubalim explained that the name Ado Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, that name of Hashem is the Sha'ar LaHashem. It's the gate through which you access Hashem, that through that all of the Bakashos reach Hashem, and it's that name is the gate through which the tefillos and the bakashos reach Hashem. And Rav Yonos and Eibshitz points out actually that the gematria male, if you take each letter of a word and write it out, so for example, for the letter Aleph, you spell Aleph, Aleph Lamed Fei, and then for Dalet, you'd spell Dalet, Dalet Lamed Saf, and then the whole thing, you would spell out each letter as the gematria of that, of the word bimiluo, when it's filled out, is the gematria of the word ta'ara, which is the Aramaic word for sha'ar. So the name Ado, that name of Hashem, is in Kabbalah, is the name which is the sha'ar la'Hashem. And the Akedah points out that many psukim which discuss being mevakesh from Hashem use the name Ado, not the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, and that's the Sha'ar LaHashem. So that's what the Akedas Yitzchak says, that's Al Pi Kabbalah. So without getting into all of the deeper things that I certainly can't explain or understand, but at the very basic level, that the first idea is is that tefillah is the sha'ar habracha, that all bracha comes through the gate of tefillah. It's called the Gemara refers to sha'arei tefillah, that there's a gate through which tefillah is the access point of bringing down that shefa, bringing down bracha from Hashem, goes through the medium of tefillah. Tefillah is the kind of the fulcrum of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's the gateway through which we access that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I wanted to just discuss a couple ideas about what Hashem Svasai Tiftach means and how they're relevant to tefillah. So the Magid Tzedek, who I think it was a contemporary of the Gra, Rav Pinchas ben Yehuda. There are a number of Mefarshim who explain this idea, but he says it very lucidly. He explains that Hashem Svasai Tiftach means Hashem, open my mouth, Ufi Yagid Tehilasecha, Hashem, open my lips, and then my mouth will say your praises. So he said the idea of saying, you know, Hashem, open my mouth, he explains that when you stand before Hashem, so there should be a pachad and an ema, an awe and a fear. A person is too awestruck, too overwhelmed to even speak, and it's as if Hashem needs to open your mouth for you because you're so overwhelmed by the experience of standing in front of Hashem. And really, when we say the pasuk, it should really remind us of how we should feel when we daven. A lot of us, because of we've gotten used to it, and you know, it's hard to feel something which is, you know, a spiritual reality which isn't, you know, with any of our five senses. But when you daven, your mamash standing before Hashem, you're literally standing in front of Hashem. And, you know, just like if you talk to, you know, an important person, you talk to someone who's busy and important and you know, someone who you don't want to look silly in front of when you're talking. So even if you've prepared everything you want to say, when it's time to deliver, you know, your speech, you have your whole speech prepared, and now, you know, when they, yes, what would you like? All there's like a nervousness that comes over you, not because you don't really know what to say, but just the momentousness of the of such an encounter is overwhelming. We should feel that way when we talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be, you know, the lehalacha, we say, you know, you're not allowed to walk in front of someone when they're davening. Because, the Mishnah Berurah says, because you're walking between them and the Shekhinah. You're literally standing face to face with the Kadosh Baruch when you're davening. And we should, you know, it's a reminder to ourselves of that fact. When we say Hashem Svasai Tiftach, we should be reminding ourselves that I should be so awestruck that, you know, I'm hesitant to even open my mouth because it should be an overwhelming experience. The Avudraham says a similar idea, but it's really one step further. The Avudraham says that the idea of saying Hashem Svasai Tiftach before we daven is the same idea as the pasuk. We say this pasuk in our Rosh Hashanah davening. We say Me Adam Ma'arche Lev Ume Hashem Ma'ane Lashon. That from man comes the arrangement of the heart. Seems, you know, arranging your thoughts and your feelings. But Me Hashem Ma'ane Lashon, but the ability to articulate, the ability to verbalize your thoughts, that comes from Hashem. And says the Avudraham, that's the idea of Hashem Svasai Tiftach. And the idea is that we are articulating, we are announcing that we can't even speak without Hashem's help. That Hashem gives us all of our, you know, the physical faculties that we have. Anything which we're able to do is because Hashem is giving us the koach to be able to do that when we do it. And even our praising of Hashem requires Hashem's support. And to realize tefillah is really a privilege. And when we daven, we realize how dependent we are on Hashem. And a person can't be machzik tova. A person can't, you know, think that you know they now deserve something because they daven. Think, you know, because I daven, look, I did this nice thing and I daven, and therefore I deserve to be answered. The fact that you were able to daven is a gift from Hashem, like the Ramban that we mentioned in the Hasagos to the Sefer HaMitzvos, that the Ramban says that he doesn't understand the perspective of seeing tefillah as a mitzvah, because tefillah is a chesed elyon. Tefillah is a chesed that Hashem is willing to listen to you. So tefillah is not, you know, I've done such a great thing. Tefillah is a privilege. And when we get up to daven, we say, Hashem Sosai Tiftach, I'm unable to daven without your help. You are allowing me to daven. It's a privilege that I have, that I get the opportunity to speak to Hashem. And therefore, before we daven, we acknowledge that this is not something that, you know, I'm being yotze an obligation, and I'm, you know, fulfilling my requirements, and therefore, you know, I'm earning points. This is an opportunity. This is something that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to have an audience with Him. So Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, Hashem, please open my mouth. I recognize that this is an opportunity and a privilege. Another idea that when we say Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, that we're asking for our distractions to be removed. We're realizing that, you know, we come to tefillah from amidst everything else that we're doing in our lives. The Mishnah says that the Chassidim Rishonim would sit an hour before they davened in order to get into the right mode and appreciation. And the Shulchan Aruch says that, you know, Me'ikar Adin, the halacha really is that before a person davens, they're supposed to sit and remove all of the distractions that they have and all of the things that they're involved in their life, and to, you know, focus completely and remove themselves from all physical involvements and all of these lofty things. But at the end of the day, we're human, and we, you know, live a somewhat fragmented, we're involved in many different things, and, you know, as hard as you try, that, you know, things come up just because it pops into your head, and for some reason when you're davening is always the most convenient time to think about everything else that you have to do in your life. So Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, Hashem, you know, open my lips, and I'll be able to, if you give me the ability, so I'll be able to properly articulate and to focus on talking to you. The word Sfas, which means lips, also means a Safa is a border, right? That's a Sifsei. Sfas Hayam is the border of the bank of the sea. Sfas is also a border. So Hashem Sfasai Tiftach means Hashem, remove my borders, remove my limitations, and then piyagiti lasecha, and then my mouth, my physical mouth, will at that point be able to properly voice the davening that I want to say. Another idea that we say, jumping to the end of the pasuk, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tilasecha. So the words Ufi Yagid Tilasecha. So first of all, Yagid is in future tense, and my mouth will say your praises. So there are some who point out an interesting relationship here, that there are 24 letters in the pasuk Hashem Sfasai Tiftach. You can count them if you'd like. There are 24 letters in the pasuk Hashem Sfasai Tiftach that they correspond to the 24 hours of the day. And when I daven, that there's Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, if you open my mouth and I'm able to daven properly, then fi yagid tilasecha, then even after I daven, in the future, for throughout the rest of the day, so my tefillah will bring me to a point when I am recognizing the praises of Hashem, or saying the praises of Hashem, through my entire day. That's the idea of tefillah is something we discussed, this, that tefillah is something which is meant to be not just a way in which I give Hashem a laundry list of my needs. It's something which is meant to be talking to myself also. Tefillah is something which is I'm meant to learn from, I'm meant to grow from, it's meant to impact me. If I properly daven, so then it's fi yagid tilasecha. Then it'll go on into the future that what I did, what I accomplished in my davening, will lead to affecting my entire day, will lead to affecting how everything that I do, because I've internalized the ideas that I'm trying to tell myself when I daven, and that leads to something which goes beyond just the however many minutes of your Shmona Esrei, is something that carries on to the entire day. Another idea, the Yagid Tehila Secha. So we don't say Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tefila Secha, that, or We don't say, open my mouth and then I'll say my prayers, I'll say my requests, whatever it is. It's Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagin Tehila Secha. This, you know, being the introduction to tefillah also reminds us that the point of tefillah is not, you know, just to, as we were just mentioning, to get my laundry list of requests out. It's not just to tell God what I need. The point of tefillah is to declare that Hashem is the one who does all of these things, and Hashem is the one who's in charge, and Hashem is the one who provides all of these things. And tefillah is an expression of a praise of Hashem. Hashem, you are in control, and you do so much good, and you do so much chesed, and you provide and take care of everyone. So Hashem says, "Tiftach ufi yagi tilasecha," saying a tefillah should really be saying a tehillah. It should be that there is a praise of Hashem which is involved in my act of tefillah, because I am recognizing through my tefillah that Hashem is the one who does all of these things, that Hashem is the one who's in charge and therefore the one who's appropriate to approach. The reason I'm davening to you, Hashem, is because you are the one who is in control and has the capacity to provide all of these things. And that's really a message for ourselves. That's the praise of tefillah. Like we say in Rifa'enu, we say Ki Sehila Secha Ata, and some of the Mefarshim understand that it is the praise of Hashem that He provides refua, that He's the one who provides refua, and not the doctors. Doctors might help, but that's a praise of Hashem, is the fact that He's the one who provides these necessities that people have. One last idea on Hashem Svasai Tiftach, and this is a somewhat fundamental idea to what tefillah is. Rabbeinu Yona points out that this tefillah is, this pasuk is, it's in parak Nun Aleph of Tehillim. That parak is the parak in which David HaMelech is responding, is discussing the Maisa of David and Bathsheba, is discussing his relationship, his inappropriate relationship with Bathsheba. The first it says Lam Natzeach Mizmor La David Bebo Elav Nasan Anavi Kaasher Ba El Bathsheba. This is Lam Natzeach of David after Nasan Anavi came and told and rebuked him about the whole story with Bathsheba. So this parak of Tehillim is really in the context of David's response to, you know, the coming to the awareness or you know, dealing with the terrible thing that he had done with Bathsheba. So what happened was David HaMelech acknowledged that he could not bring a korban for what he did. What he had done was bemazed. He did it intentionally, and a korban is not mechaper for a mezid, and therefore he asked that his tfilos would be accepted, since he's in a position where he's not allowed to bring a korban, where a korban is not in place for a mezid. You don't bring a korban for a mezid, and therefore he asked that his tfilos be accepted. And David Melech says, "Hashem svasai tiftach ufi yagi tilasecha," open my mouth and open my lips, and my mouth will say your praises. And the next pasuk is Kilo Sach Potz Zevach Ve'etena, because you don't want a zevach, you don't want a karban. If you did, I would give it. Ola Lo Sirtza, and you don't desire an ola, and therefore I don't have that option. And therefore, instead, please allow me to daven, accept my tefilos, because I don't have the option of bringing a karban. A karban won't make up for what I did because it was amazing. So says the Rabbeinu Yona. That's, you know, what David was saying was that even though korbanos are not accepted for a mezid, but tefillah still could be accepted, even if you've done averus chamuros bemezid, you've done very serious things and you did them bemezid, that your tefillos could still be accepted and could still be a form of repairing what you've done wrong, of tshuva, of making up for that. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, for our purposes, you know, we're supposed to have in mind that so too we who do not have the Beis HaMikdash and cannot bring korbanos, so our tefillos should be in their stead, and we should have our tefillos in the place of the korbanos that we're incapable of bringing, and therefore we have, you know, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Ufi Yagi Tilasecha, I'm aware that I can't bring a korban, and therefore I would like my tefillos to be accepted. But I just wanted to focus for a minute on this idea that that tfilos could be accepted in the place where korbanos could not. So what's the idea that, you know, we have to a certain extent, we say that tfilos keneged tmidim tikkunim, that tfilos were established, you know, as a replacement of the korban tamid that you can't bring. What exactly is this idea that the Rabbeinu Yonah is learning in this in these psukim tehillim, that tefillah could work in the place where korbanos can't? What exactly is the how do we understand that? So the idea of korbanos are work other, you know, there's different kinds of korbanos, but you know, the korban that you bring for an avera, a korban chatas, only works for a shogeg, only someone who did something because they either forgot or they weren't aware of what they were doing or whatever it was. So that's when you can bring a korban. Why is it that a korban works for a shogeg? Why is it that a korban is the appropriate response to something that you did, bishogeg, that you did accidentally, but not for a mazid? What a shogeg means is I made a mistake. I did something that I that, you know, was incorrect. It was not unavoidable. If it would be unavoidable, it would be an ones and you wouldn't even need a korban. But I did something which was, you know, was wrong. I didn't mean to do it, but I did something wrong. And there's a reality. There's, you know, just like there are laws of physics, there are laws of metaphysics, and just like if I fall out of a window, it doesn't matter if it was by accident, I will still, you know, have a certain velocity which will make impact when I hit the ground, and that'll be painful. Doesn't matter if I meant to do it or not. So there are laws of metaphysics. There's a spiritual reality also. If I did a chait, so there's a spiritual reality to that chait, and I created something. But the shoresh, the root of that, is that I made a mistake. That I did something which was, you know, the Torah said not to. I did it by accident. I did it because I wasn't careful enough. I wasn't careful enough about thinking what I was doing, or I wasn't careful enough about learning what I should know. Whatever it was, I was not careful, and I failed to realize the import and significance of my actions. I failed to realize how cosmically impactful and important my actions are, and that my actions have real meaning, and therefore I wasn't careful. So I bring a korban, as if to say, as the Ramban in Vayikra explains, that, you know, this really should be me. When I bring a korban, the Ramban says, the idea is that I should see myself as if, you know, this korban that Hashem is doing a chesed and allowing me to bring the korban instead of myself, but really I deserve to be here. And that's meant to impart to me how serious my actions were. If what I did is so serious that really I deserve to be on the Mizbeach now, so that should send me the message that you have to, you know, take things more seriously, be more careful. You have to realize how important and significant your actions are, and therefore be more careful, and therefore you won't do things b'shogeg anymore. That's the kapara for it's the response to you did something because you weren't taking things seriously enough. So you realize and you bring a korban to recognize how serious and how cosmic your actions are. And that's what a shogeg, what a korban does, and therefore a korban is the proper appropriate response for a shogeg. But a mazid, something that you do intentionally, cannot have a korban. A mazid, when I do something the mazid, means that I realized full well what I was doing when I did it, and I did it anyways. The impact of a mazid is not, it also has the element of I did something which was, you know, a spiritual, terrible, spiritually a destructive thing to do. But on top of that, and we'll discuss this point later in Shmon Esrei in more at length, but really more significant than the actual aveira that I did is the merida, is the rebellion, is the rejection of what Hashem said. It wasn't just that I ended up doing something that Hashem didn't want. I decided to do something that Hashem didn't want. I rejected Malchus Hashem. I said, you tell me what, you told me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. The merida, the rejection of the old Malchus Shemayim, that's the real significance. That's the real import, the real problem of a mazid. It's the rebellion involved. So to compensate for a mazid, it's not enough to bring a korban. A korban is when I'm trying to, you know, to relate to myself that what I did was very serious. When I did a mazid, I knew what I was doing. I chose to do it. It wasn't that I wasn't, you know, I didn't realize how important my actions are. I chose to do this act. This is exactly what I planned to do. I decided that I don't have to listen to Hashem. So when I do amazed, the response is that I need to change myself. And I need to change the direction that I'm going. And it's not enough to just, you know, bring a carbon and say, like, wow, that was, you know, I should have realized how serious that was. When I do something with amazed, I need to change myself. It's not enough just to be shocked into realizing that, you know, I have to be more careful. I need to change direction. Tefillah is called avoda shebelev. Tefillah is the avoda of the lev, is the process of changing myself. Like the next pasuk says in that parak of Tehillim, it says, Hashem svasai tiftach v'fi yagid yilasecha ki lo sachpot zelach v'atena ola lo siratze. You don't want korbanos. What does Hashem want? It says, lev nishbar v'nidke lo sivza. A broken and downtrodden heart Hashem will not reject. That if my lave, if my heart can be broken and can be and then I can reassemble myself. If something is right, something is tame, a kli is tame, and you break it, you can fix it, and now it doesn't have its tame anymore. You've taken it away from what it was. You've broken it down and reconstructed it in a way in which it's renewed. So I break myself down, and I have to reconstruct myself, and I have to change myself. And that's what tefillah is, the avoda shebelev, is the avoda of the lev nishbar, of being broken-spirited, of having a broken heart. The tshuva for the mezid is to break oneself down and construct yourself as a new person. And this is accomplished through the introspection of tefillah, in which we subject ourselves to Hashem's judgment, and we accept that his values should be the guiding principles of our lives. And therefore, when you do something, the shogeg, korban is enough for a shogeg. And David HaMelech was saying that if it would be a shogeg, so a korban could accomplish, could rectify a shogeg, because a korban speaks to the issue at hand. When I did something accidentally, I wasn't careful enough, it wasn't internalized enough, you know, how special and important my actions are. So a shogeg is the proper and appropriate response to that. But when I did something bemazed, says David HaMelech, I know that a korban is not going to make the cut here. A korban is not allowed for amazed, because a korban doesn't respond to the issue of what amazed expresses. When I do something bemazed, however, tefillah still is able to break that barrier, because tefillah is not just, you know, telling myself, like, wow, I need to be more serious. Tefillah is a reassessment of values. When I daven, as we said, the word lehis palel means to cause oneself to be judged. The tefillah is where I'm subjecting myself to the value system of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and I'm saying that I need to put myself on and recognize what's important according to what a Kaddish Baruch Hu says is important. And I'm changing my value system and realizing that I'm dependent on Hashem, that I need Hashem, that Hashem has a relationship with me, that Hashem cares about me, and all of those things. Those are the things which change my attitude and realize that I do have a relationship with Hashem, and what Hashem says should be the most important thing in my life. And therefore, tefillah, really, in a more basic way, changes who the person is than korbanos could. And therefore, tefillah is what David HaMelech was saying, Hashem svasai tiftach, ufi yagi tilasecha, that allow me still to have the access to tefillah and accept my tefillos in because korbanos won't work, and therefore I'll be able to still find my way back. So before we daven, we're also recognizing this fundamental point that when we daven, we're not just, you know, reading some things off. We're not just reading a list. We're not just, you know, getting some things off of our chest. When we daven, we are changing who we are. When we daven, we are reassessing ourselves, and you should come out of tefillah being a different person when you came in. And we mentioned in one of our previous discussions that's, you know, one of the answers to how can we expect, you know, if before I davened, I didn't deserve to get whatever it is that I'm asking for. So after I daven, if I didn't deserve it beforehand, so why should davening change anything? And one of the answers that we mentioned was that because when I daven, I'm not the same person that I was before I daven. Maybe the person who started Shemona Esrei didn't deserve whatever it is, but the person who's coming out of Shemona Esrei is a different person. That's what a Shemona Esrei should be, that every Shemona Esrei that I'm coming out of should be a different, I should be a different person. Ideally, if a person has the capacity to really spend time and focus and work on in their Shemona Esrei. A person should be coming out of their Shemona Esrei as a different person than they went in. And therefore, we're reminding ourselves of that. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach Lofi Yagi Tilasecha, that tefillah is accepted even when a korban is not, because tefillah is more fundamental to changing who you are than a korban is. And we remind ourselves of that unique status of tefillah before we daven, that we're entering a process of re-evaluation of ourselves and of growing. And that's the supposed to, that should focus us in the appropriate direction to take our tefillos seriously. All right, I think we'll stop here because I don't want to get into the next thing. It's going to take a few minutes. So we'll stop here for tonight and we'll pick up next week.